Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The Affair with Ikara Freeman. If you play this podcast, your life will be better. Welcome to The Affair. Fast Eddie of TVTropes.org.
Hello.
well, first off, for those who aren't familiar with TVTropes.org, what exactly is a trope?
Well, let's call it a convention or a shortcut for telling a story. There's something that you can rely on in the audience's mind as being there, and you can take that clay, that whatever that idea they have in their head, the trope, and you can form it up in different ways to tell your story in your way.
What inspired exactly the creation of the site?
We're actually coming up on next Monday will be our ninth year. We've been up for 9 years. So when we first got started, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was a pretty active community. It was actually still on the air. And we were a group of people who were interested in talking about Buffy, and we'd all pretty literate, you know, sort of all been to college, and we wanted to talk about it away from people who are, you know, interested in the actor's hair. We want to talk about the storytelling. And as we were talking about storytelling, we developed these, you know, little shortcuts for saying, well, this is a damsel in distress episode, all right? So that there's a trope, get her in trouble, and then the rest of the episode's about getting her out of trouble. So we had collected a number of these little handles that we put on these ideas for storytelling, and it occurred one day to me that there wasn't an online catalog of all those things that you could do, all those things you could mesh together into a story. So I started it up on a PC in my basement, and very quickly had to move it to a professional service because, you know, we were just talking along in a forum and got used to using these terms in the forum. We said, you know what, let's document these terms, and chased off and did it.
Okay. Well, do you find that, and it's interesting that started off with Buffy, because one thing that I, as a non-Buffy fan, often sort of wonder about, what is Buffy speak exactly?
Oh, I can't do it. Don't, you know. You know, I can't just do the. It's where you say that you speak about things in a very vague sort of way. You don't really know what you want to say. You don't want to you invent adjectives out of the middle of the air, like saying that something is it's boingy. It's boing like, and you're not really sure what it means.
Now, do you find that actually knowing the tropes dulls your enjoyment of TV and film and everything?
Absolutely not. No way. You experience the story just as well as you ever have. And when you look back on a story, is when things like tropes become interesting to you. Now, you can see a trope developing, you know, when a story is going through, and you get curious about how they're going to handle it this time. And you can be disappointed that they just leave it as a flat old trope. They don't actually, you know, put any spin on it or actually try to, you know, to bring some originality to it. You know, that could be a little disappointing. But I think between the combination of looking for tropes as they come by and appreciating the way that the particular trope has been dealt out, in this particular story, I think enhances enjoyment of storytelling.
Well, TV Tropes is a user-generated site. So what exactly is the vetting process? I mean, how do you keep fans from going crazy and ranting and raving over certain pages?
I'm not sure we're always successful in that. I think we do get people who rant and rave a little bit. You know, people who want to participate in the wiki fall into different categories of the way they like to help. And there are people who moderate by going their main enjoyment is moderating the articles, make sure that they don't go off into screeds, you know, off into rants about this or that. And there are people who like to help people who think they see a trope develop that into a good description that's fun to read and is reflected in, you know, in storytelling. There's a part of the site, I don't know if you've explored it that deeply, called, you know, that thing where...
or your motives okay. might vary.
Right. Okay, so you go to that part of the site, and that's where you develop a trope. You say, okay, I think this is a trope, and you write it up best you can. And people who have an interest in focusing on that part of the development process, the you know, that part of the fun, will give you feedback on, oh, yeah, I've seen examples of that, or perhaps, you know, that's too much like another trope we have written up, you know, that sort of thing. So the vetting process in terms of development of tropes is happens in that particular, it's kind of like a forum, we call it YKTTW. Yeah, that's always something, that's the way the tropes appeal, you know, to come up to people. Hey, you know that thing where the guy wearing a red shirt on Star Trek always died first?
Now, what exactly is your favorite trope? Is it not politically correct to call you say that you have a favorite one?
I don't think that I have a favorite one. Yeah, I don't know whether it's politically correct or not. I just don't really have a favorite one. I think when I'm trying to do humor, I have a tendency to do a Gilligan cut. As we've gotten written up, that's where someone claims very vociferously that they're not going to do something, and then you cut to the next scene and they're doing it. That sort of thing. I have a tendency to use that one a lot, but I'm not sure it's a...
One of our favorite tropes, obviously, here at the fair is deconstruction, because we'd like to call ourselves a deconstruction entertainment show. So it's a bit of a buzzword. So from the TV tropes guru himself, what is deconstruction? Because everyone seems to be using that word these days.
Yeah, I hope eventually they'll get over it. Right. Deconstruction, I would say, is you look at how the story has been told. You look at the mechanisms of the story, and that would be trope finding, you know, as we call it, to a certain extent. Look for what the meta principle is related to that trope, okay? And let's say, for instance, if it's you've got a joke about a priest, a rabbi, and a monk walking into a bar, right? Now that's a trope.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, there's your trope. Now, to deconstruct that, the differences in the religions and how the thing works, because there's a difference between how those religions approach different things. Okay, that's how you deconstruct it.
And you know, there's actually a fair amount of Australian tropes on the site. I've got to ask, what's your perception of Australia now that you've become an editor of tropes?
You know, I have a tendency to think that the people who are doing, you know, the things that are primarily about Australia or trying to reflect how Australia is used in storytelling, I have a tendency to think those are written by Australians. I don't know if that's true or not. So I don't really get a sense of nationality from the editors. You know, I guess this happens to me a lot. Is it true that storytelling reflects the land down under, Australia, as being a place of danger? And you know, when I think about it, the examples that, you know, we see on site, they seem to reflect that. You know, it happens to be like you were just telling me that it's, you know, there's some basis in truth there, right? But the, you know, the important thing in terms of trope finding, in terms of, you know, having that, you know, that meme that's out there in people's minds, you know, propagating by itself, is that, you know, it's dangerous to go outside of a city in Australia. You know, that's a trope that gets used in stories. Okay, it's whether it has any, you know, basis in fact or not, it's still a trope that is in use.
Okay.
We find people, you know, so you take, for instance, you're interested in LGBT issues, right?
Yeah.
There'll be places where it's not true in reality that, you know, gay guys operate in a certain way, you know, in a conversation. But you do get camp gay guys on TV and movies and everywhere, okay, who are, you know, sort of flouncing around and doing it. Very pronouncedly. I don't ever run into guys that are quite that camp gay, you know, in reality. But, you know, it does get used in storytelling.
Well, actually, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because one of the really interesting things about TV tropes in the site is that you actually find applications in the real life section. I actually find the real life section much more interesting than anything in television. Sure. It's good that you brought up Camp Gay, because as you can tell, I'm American by my accent. And I grew up in the U.S., and I never in my whole entire life growing up in the U.S. ever saw the trope of the gay gossip columnist or the gay entertainment reporter until I actually came to this country, where apparently every single American correspondent is a very camp gay person, and they it's a sort of unspoken trope here. So I'm actually going to debate whether we should actually wage a campaign to add that as a possible trope on Australian television.
You know, there may be a few entertainment type guys, you know, reporters who are clearly gay, but I don't know if they're real camp gay. They're openly gay.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, but they don't, you know, all that swish and bother, you know. That's interesting. Yeah, I would, you know, I'd put that into the, like you say, put it into a YKTTW. Write that your thesis up that
American men on Australian television are generally seen as camp gay entertainment correspondents.
Really? Is it that bad?
No, it's a very specific one at the same time. Well, is there anything TV Tropes going to do anything special for your 9th anniversary?
Oh, geez, you know, it's a great idea. Maybe. You know, what I'll do is I'll get with our moderating crew and see if we can pull, you know, a rabbit out of that, something to celebrate it. You're right, we should honor and celebrate that sort of thing. So no plans yet. Maybe we'll all just make a group tour down to Australia.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you again, Fast Eddie, and it's tvtropes.org, and I guess any special message to all the Joy listeners out there?
I guess we're really glad that people in Australia are picking up on us and enjoying what we're doing, and come on in, man. Yeah, it's right there on the internet.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. The Affair with Ikara Freeman. This is a podcast saying, play me one more time, please.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.